Now, the city continued to expand after Constantine's death in 337. There was a great extension of the public areas, cisterns, the building of a great aqueduct system by the Emperor Valens, who ruled from 364 to 378. And that aqueduct system was still in use in the 19th century. The most impressive addition to the city was made at the opening of the 5th century. And this was to accommodate more space for an ever-growing population, because Constantinople grew from 30,000 in 325 AD to certainly 300,000 by 400 AD, and then probably doubled again by the time Justinian became emperor in 527. And so there was a vast extension of the city. And the original walls constructed by Constantine were no longer adequate. In 414, 415 AD, the prefect, a man named Anthemius, he was the chief civil administrator of the government of the Emperor Theodosius II, who is perhaps one of the most feckless emperors of the fifth century. But Anthemius ordered the construction of the Theodosian Walls, which is a triple wall defense of the city. It stretched 4 miles from the Golden Horn, that would be the river to the north of Constantinople, forming the top of this rough triangle, and then they stretched to the Sea of Marmara, which would be the base of that, the other arm of the triangle, and then the base would be those land walls, which sealed off the city from its hinterland and turned the city into a veritable fortress, an island fortress in a way. The walls are impressive even today. They're being rebuilt by the city of Istanbul. There is a moat followed by an outer wall some 20, 25 feet high. If the attacker got over that wall, he immediately confronted inner wall 40 feet high, 60-foot towers. It's a magnificent example of Roman engineering. The walls rest on a firm foundation, so you can't even tunnel underneath it in order to undermine the walls. Most barbarians who had difficulty coping with walls, and the idea of assaulting walls of this sort was beyond their means, most barbarians in the Middle Ages arriving before these walls simply gave up. There was no point in continuing. And Constantinople then served as the strategic defense of Asia Minor from the various barbarian peoples who poured in from Central and Eastern Europe into the Roman Empire, because they were all deflected west. They were all sent into the Western Roman Empire. And to some extent, one can say that the Western Roman Empire fell because the Eastern Roman Emperor built walls around his capital. That is probably an exaggeration. Certainly the court in Ravenna must have thought that at a number of points in the 5th century. And therefore, as the Western Roman Empire went into crisis after 395 and essentially disintegrated by 476, the city of Constantine remained in place with its possessions, and that capital was no small part of the survival of the eastern half of the Roman Empire. The capital played a decisive role. Its location was ideal. It was on trade routes. It was near the more wealthy parts of the Roman Empire, where you could draw taxes, where you could draw administrative talent to run the Roman world. So the capital very much was the nerve center of this eastern Roman Empire. Well, Constantine had done a splendid job in creating this political capital. Well, what about the second individual I had mentioned earlier, John Chrysostom? He was patriarch during the reign of an emperor called Arcadius, who was the father of Theodosius. And I guess Arcadius is neck and neck with his son on who was worst emperor of the 5th century. Arcadius was a very weak-willed emperor, and he clashed with his patriarch. And what the reign of John Chrysostom proves is that the patriarch, the head of what becomes the Orthodox Church, emerged as a powerful figure and in his own right. And the patriarch John Chrysostom really defined the role of successive patriarchs for the Byzantine world, and so the role of Constantinople in the religious life of an increasingly Christian empire. And that's a point that really needs to be stressed. In 381 AD, at the Second Ecumenical Council, which was held at Constantinople, Constantinople at the New Rome was proclaimed to be on par with the Old Rome. That is, the patriarch in Constantinople had the same rights as a successor of Peter as the pope in Rome. Now, the popes always insisted that he has the same rights, but the pope is actually above him. And the patriarch in Constantinople has always insisted on equality, and ergo is the grist for the mill that leads eventually to the Great Schism of 1054, the splitting of the Eastern and Western churches.